Talking Comics with My Dad. More comics on this podcast than any other podcast. I'm Rachel.
I'm Jim.
And I gotta tell you, Dad, today it's gonna be super. You know why?
Because we're talking about Superman?
I was just gonna say it's because our podcast is really good.
Oh, okay, well. No. I like the positive vibe, the positive thoughts at the very start of it, that it's going to be a super podcast.
Yeah, it is going to be super, and especially because we're talking about Superman, because, I mean, let's be real, let's put it all on the table. I like Superman. I really like Superman.
I do, too. I've probably been more of a Batman guy than Superman,
but
I've read a ton of Superman comics over the years, and I've always been a big fan of the character, but I recently got a PS4. Yes, welcome to the modern gaming world,
welcome,
Dad.
Welcome to the new age, old man.
And thanks. And I have Injustice 2, and I've been playing it.
Yeah.
And
it's obviously
a world where Superman gets gassed by the Joker. He kills Lois Lane, and then he starts this reign of being basically a dictator. It's eventually taken down by Batman and Superman from another universe.
Yes. And from what I know of it, because I'm not super well versed in the Injustice universe, but Superman's reasoning for doing this and kind of trying to take over is, well, look at what you humans do.
Right.
You clearly can't take care of yourselves. I'm going to run things because you guys don't have your poop in a group, clearly.
Clearly. The poop was not in a group. So we're going to talk about Injustice, Gods Among Us. Volume 2, we'll do this next podcast.
Yeah, Volume 1, actually.
I'm sorry.
I brought you the first volume.
I said Volume 2 on it, I'm sorry.
I can't read.
That's okay.
I'm sorry.
But it's Injustice, and so we're going to talk about it. The series of graphic novels that the game kind of inspired.
Yeah.
But we thought we would talk about the idea, the notion of evil Superman.
Yeah, that's just more the general concept of evil Superman, because unfortunately, I think, and it's been around for a long time, this idea that Superman is boring. He's a Boy Scout. He's a do-gooder. And what if he decided, you know, whether he just snapped or something happened or whatever, what if he chose to become evil? What if Superman was a jerk?
Right. Homelander from The Boys is takes on that whole notion of a Superman-like character that's just a really bad guy.
And Homelander, I would say, is one of the better done iterations of, like, evil parody Superman.
Because he's beloved. The public loves Homelander.
He's charismatic. He puts off the impression that he cares about people. And he's got a great PR team.
The folks at VOT do a nice job of brand managing Homelander. But in the case of Superman, I mean, there's been a bunch of different evil men characters over the years. Going back to Bizarro.
Love Bizarro.
Who, of course, comes from Bizarro World, where everything is totally the opposite, and they applaud him being evil in Bizarro because he's
evil and dumb as a bag of hammers.
Exactly. But you have the Bizarro character, which is kind of comic foil, and he's kind of dumb, but he's also
he's a joke, but he's also not when the situation suits it.
Exactly. He can be a very evil character. And then we'll go back to, from a cinematic standpoint, the first notion of evil Superman, which was the great Christopher Reeve series of films.
Yes.
And Superman 3, where Superman becomes evil Superman, where he gets exposed to a different type of kryptonite, and that makes him, and actually Clark Kent and him, they become two separate entities. And it was a synthetic kryptonite that's created. He gets exposed to it, and then that's what turns him in. That's what causes the separation in the film of Clark Kent, who has to essentially fight evil Superman.
Yeah, he's like fighting his shadow self, basically.
Right, and evil Superman is, obviously it's Christopher Reeve playing both characters, but his suit's kind of dirty, and his hair's all messy, and
he's
doesn't
really
shave.
Disheveled. Kind
drinks
of like
a lot.
Big misogynist.
Big time misogynist, and he's just a piece of garbage.
Synthetic kryptonite, not even once.
Exactly. And so, ultimately in the film, Clark Kent defeats evil Superman, and they come back together. The two entities rejoin, and so there you go. So that was kind of the first introduction to, at least from a cinematic standpoint, the idea of evil Superman. Of course, we had the Justice League film, the nightmare sequence, which is basically taking a page from Injustice.
Yeah.
On Lois Lane dies, Superman feels responsible for it, and then that leads him to being this brutal dictator that in the film works with Darkseid.
Exactly. And I mean, I'll say as little about the whole Lois Lane thing as possible. You can go read some of Gail Simone's writing if you want to feel my thoughts on, you know, the whole, you know, love interest dying to, you know.
Right.
But it's definitely a concept that has been expanded upon and taken in a lot of different directions. And you even have kind of the Red Sun Superman, who I would argue is not necessarily evil.
The Soviet Superman.
He's born in a different place. He was found in a different place. That's all. He just happened to be in communist Russia.
And while he, you know, for America, it's truth, justice, and the American way, it's obviously with the Soviet version of him.
Unity, the proletariat, and
borscht for everybody.
Yes.
I don't, a little vodka on the side, too. But he's still not a bad guy.
No.
He may represent a country at that time that we continue to have our problems with, but
yes,
certainly, you know, the old USSR representing that Stalin like, you know, mentality, and
Iron Fist,
right? But he still saved Americans. He still saved people.
He values human life.
Exactly. Even though he may be the representative, the embodiment of Mother Russia, he still cares about other people. He's not a bad guy. He has just grown up in a different country,
different set of standards.
Yeah, exactly. Different set of standards and loyalty to a country where he grew up. And so it's kind of interesting. You also have Superboy Prime.
Oh boy!
Which gets into
Superboy, where if you order, you get delivery within 2 days, right?
I believe so. He has the Amazon swoosh on his chest instead of the S.
And you get free streaming.
But this is, and you, exactly. And he can return Superboy Prime, you know.
Yeah, free of charge.
Take him over to Kohl's. They'll send him right back. Make sure he's bubble wrapped, though.
But I'm sure a lot of people would like to return Superboy Prime.
But it this is where you start to venture into the different versions of Superman, where there's, you know, Earth Prime Superboy, who's a hero. Then he joins an effort to defeat the anti-monitor, which we've seen, of course, in some of the CW with the Flash,
yes,
and Supergirl and some of those. And so he ends up becoming this basically a villain.
Yeah.
As he develops and he becomes Superboy Prime. And so he becomes this very villainous version of Superman.
And very angsty, too. He's very teen angst, you know. I didn't choose this. I hate
right.
being like this. It's a curse, you know.
Right. He's almost old school gothy a little bit.
A little bit.
Got the hair. It's really like Robert Smith of The Cure.
It's
and
like,
just very.
Clark, I know you're in there listening to The Smiths. Please come out. Go away, Ma.
Leave me alone, Ma. I'm my own pit of misery in here in my room. Yeah, Hank Henshaw, which is another version, if you will, isn't like Clark Kent has gone evil or anything.
He's
like that.
Superman with a metal jaw.
Right, when you had, you know, Superman apparently, you know, dies and does die, and of course is reborn after the battle with Doomsday, that Hank Henshaw is this kind of impersonator that's in Terminator drag, and he uses some of, you know, Kryptonian DNA, and he, you know, uses Superman's DNA and creates this kind of human cyborg version of Superman that's pretty evil.
He's cosplaying Superman.
Exactly. And he ends up joining Superboy Prime, the Sinestro Corps, of course, from Green Lantern.
Right.
The main villain in that. And so he ends up joining that. So you have that version of, you know, of evil Superman, if you will.
Yeah.
And we've talked about Injustice Superman.
And that's the one that I'm kind of more familiar with.
And that's the one we'll wait and talk more about that coming up next week after we read Injustice. But
it's funny that a lot of this stuff, I find it interesting that a lot of these things are, it's not necessarily Clark Kent becoming evil. It's somebody else donning the Superman identity or like an alternate reality version of him. But it's not simply Clark Kent just going, screw it, I'm evil now.
Exactly. And really there's just the two. There's the Injustice. I mean, there probably been other quote evil versions of Superman, but they've never lasted very long. But the Injustice version has had a very big impact because of the Snyder films of yeah. Justice League and the nightmare sequence of where clearly Superman, and that was going to be the next part of the Justice League films, was Superman losing his mind, working with Darkseid and taking over the Earth. And how could the Justice League prevent this from happening?
And whatever your opinion on kind of his directorial direction, Zack Snyder has definitely embraced the darker, grittier side of superhero, as I'd say. He's always really jumped at the opportunity to make it maybe not more realistic, but just definitely darker.
Right. He's definitely taken that opportunity. I mean, there was, remember the outrage over Man of Steel when he kills Zod, when he kills Michael Shannon.
And
because he had to.
Zod was going to kill everybody on Earth.
And he said, look, I'm never going to stop. Right? I mean, the line is basically,
yeah,
you're going to have to kill me because I'm going to take this. We're going to recreate Krypton on this world and we're going to kill everybody. And the only way you're going to stop me is by killing me. And so what is the ultimate Boy Scout supposed to do?
I mean, I think a lot of other superheroes could benefit from doing what Superman did in that situation. Looking at you, Batman. you wouldn't have your whole Joker problem if you just, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's where, oh, the TV show is on Netflix. It got canceled. With Josh DeMille. Jupiter's Legacy.
Jupiter's Legacy.
They delve very heavily into that because Josh DeMille, he's Ultraman, and then I believe he's Ultraman. Mm-hmm. And that, but anyway, and then Paragon is his son. And Paragon's the one that's kind of like Damian Wayne.
Right.
Robin, you know, who has an Injustice, has a very different view of dealing with criminals than his dad, than Batman.
I was murdered, and now I'm really angry about it, Robin.
Yeah. And so that's where some of these things come into play a little bit. But it gets back to the whole idea of evil Superman starts with, at least in the Snyder stuff, of Man of Steel, of him making that decision. Like, well, good old fashioned Superman wouldn't have done that. And people were outraged by that. And I'm just kind of going,
like, it made sense.
You put that character in a position where he either allows his home planet to come back to life, or he lets the people that he's known. I mean, he's walked as a human since he was a baby. He's been among humans. His parents were humans.
Yeah, and I mean,
and so he feels that he has been you know, sent to Earth to be a protector of humanity.
Exactly, and it's like, why allow billions of innocent people to die so he can have a homeworld returned to him that he never really knew and he was never a part of?
And you were not going to get Michael Shannon's General Zod to go, okay, we'll take kind of like with Thor.
Yeah.
And the Asgardians. Okay, we'll just find a little place and we'll just kind of carve it out and make it our own. We're okay with that. He wanted Earth. He wanted the entire planet. He did not want some small part of the planet for Krypton to be reborn.
There
and
was
so,
no bargaining with Zod.
Yeah. And so he asked, so Superman makes the decision and there are people, oh, that makes him an evil guy. Well,
no, it doesn't. He's killing somebody who is, I mean, pretty clearly evil.
But it does show though, and I think what Snyder was trying to do to set up down the road was this version of Superman may not like killing, may not want to do it, but he'll do it if he has to. And then later on, if we would have seen the whole nightmare part of Justice League unfold, you would have seen that obviously in a more on a much greater scale of him being a dictator. So I just think it is interesting when you have a character that is always been the ultimate Boy Scout, but here's somebody that is the most powerful entity in the world. And
How do you reconcile that?
Yeah, how do you balance that? Because at some point, is there not when Lois Lane gets killed in Injustice and Superman's the one who actually kills her and the Joker pays the price in a big, big way for what he does to Superman.
Right.
That there's always been that, I wanted, and we saw that a little bit in Batman versus Superman too, when he has to testify at Congress and then he gets blown up by obviously Lex Luthor. that there's a little bit of that. I'm here. I protect these people, but they don't give a damn about me.
Yeah.
They really don't. They don't trust me.
They're scared
there's some
of me.
There's some that love me, but there's a lot of them that are fearful of me,
or that hate me.
Or
like,
you know,
look at Lex Luthor.
Well, look at Batman initially in Batman Superman. He's fearful of him, and he's also angry about the battle with Zod and destroying parts of Metropolis and Gotham and his anger there.
And that's justified. And I think too, we empathize with Superman and we love Superman because we know him as a character and we know him as a human being. We know he's a kind person who has a good heart. But to live in that same world with somebody that powerful and to maybe not know their intentions, I think people, would be justified in not trusting him and being afraid of him.
Absolutely. And so I think that that's been, with the Snyder approach, has been interesting to see. I mean, going back to Superman 3 with Christopher Reeve, and I thought Christopher Reeve was so good as Superman, particularly being the, golly gee shucks kind of
just
Superman.
Just a farm boy.
Yeah, and when they did the evil Superman and he becomes as drunk and he's misogynistic and everything, that it was a little hard to take it seriously because the tones of those films were not a Zack Snyder tone.
No,
obviously.
They're a little more lighthearted and goofy.
Of course, Richard Donner, who passed away recently, was the man that directed the first one and got the whole thing going. But it was one of those where you wanted to take it seriously, but it was a little tough to take it seriously because it was kind of campy.
Yeah, I mean, it's
even he's
silly.
Drunk and angry and. A bag goes, hey, toots, he just kind of,
yeah.
Not bad acting on Christopher Reeve's part,
no,
just a
just,
bad.
It's silly. It's just silly.
It's just kind of silly to think of him as being this bad person.
Yeah.
Because he's always been the, truth, justice, and the American way kind of guy.
And I guess that segues kind of into the, maybe not Superman himself being evil, but kind of the parody evil Superman that you see crop up a lot in other comics. We
Homelander,
saw,
Hyperion.
Yeah. And we saw, I think, a big surge in, like, kind of what if superheroes were evil stuff, especially in the 90s, especially during that kind of edgy era of anti-heroes and, look at these, people you idealize, these caped Boy Scouts, and what if they were actually terrible people?
Right. Which is a little bit of what The Watchmen kind of is.
Oh, yeah.
And so actually, but that was in the 80s, but we saw the film, of course, come out in the 2000s. And
Alan Moore, perennially ahead of his time and being miserable about it the whole way.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll talk more about Injustice, the graphic novel series, next time, and maybe more about just that particular version of Superman. But yeah, I just think it's the notion of evil Superman's this really kind of funny thing, and how always Batman is the guy that is the gatekeeper, the kill switch, if you will,
yeah.
to stopping Superman.
Which I don't understand. Like, I love Batman. Don't get me wrong. I really like Batman. But I don't get it. It's like why Batman is always kind of the center of things and the only one who can stop Superman. It's like, what about, you guys forgetting Wonder Woman? You forgetting that? Because, I think, if anything, she's the one who's more on Superman's level, technically speaking.
But I think the thing about that's always been the concern about Wonder Woman is the and the on again off again relationship that Superman has had with Wonder Woman from a romantic standpoint.
Yeah.
And how certainly like Injustice, I mean, she is clearly she's on Team Superman. And they do have develop a relationship, a romantic relationship after the death of Lois Lane and those kind of things where it's almost like you can't trust her.
I can see that.
She feels a kinship with Superman.
That makes sense, yeah. That in a way she'd be more inclined to empathize with him because they're both kind of superhuman entities already.
But I do find it's funny. You're going, and I get it, Batman is supposed to be one of the smartest people in the world. But here's a guy that has a code of not killing. But he's the one put in charge of, what if he has to kill Superman?
Yeah.
I mean, what happens if that decision has to be made? And
dude, you can't even even killed the Joker. What makes you think you're going to kill Superman?
I mean, what happens if Superman's not just not going to stop?
And it's like, and you're not going to get to pull the whole killing joke bit with him. He's going to just snap your neck, dude.
And so I know in the new TV series, which I've watched a little bit of it, the Lois and Clark one, that they address this particular aspect of what happens if, because apparently there was an episode where there was Superman goes bad. And
like a carton of milk.
Right, exactly. Expiration date was 1999.
Oh, Clark, you smell a little off.
We got to get this out of the fridge. And he goes to John Henry, the Steel character, because in the CW universe, Batman's been missing for years. And so Batman's not there to take on the gatekeeper role of stopping Superman when he goes bad. And so Superman asks John Henry to be the one that you got to take him down. And then there's the Dylan Walsh character who is the Lois Lane's dad, Superman's father-in-law in the film.
Yeah.
Who has this, you know, just arsenal of Kryptonian weapons of, you know, green kryptonite and all these things, different weapons to kill Superman. So,
and he's always, even in the comics, Lois Lane's dad has always been kind of a shady character.
Yes. And kind of continues on with the version they have of him in the CW show as well. So anyway, next week we'll talk more about Injustice.
Yeah.
And the game has been a lot of fun to play. Really enjoy it.
It's a good game. I can confirm it's got some good action. It's a good solid beat 'em up.
All right, so we'll talk about that next time. And should mention very quickly, since we're talking Superman stuff today, Michael B. Jordan, the HBO Max show that he's been attached to, we have not heard exactly if he's going to play, you know, Calvin Ellis,
right,
Black Superman, but it seems like, come on.
Yeah, come on.
Come on. He's going to be playing, you would like to think he'd play that character. So it looks like we're going to see the J.J. Abrams version along with, Coates. Can't remember.
Ta-Nehisi Coates.
Ta-Nehisi Coates. Their version will come out at some point. But it looks like HBO Max, Michael B. Jordan, and his take on Superman will be over there on HBO Max probably the next year or so.
Heck yeah. And closing out, one last thing, outside of superhero stuff, but still within the realm of silly nerd things, I sat down and I watched Masters of the Universe Revelations, first season of it, first five episodes. Really good. I would highly recommend it. It goes in kind of an unexpected direction. I won't give too much away, but like, there's a few new characters and there's some kind of cool reimaginings of old current ones. But I really enjoyed it. I think it's fun. I mean, as long as you don't get too bogged down in things like, well, that continuity doesn't match up or whatever. It's like if you just shut your brain off and go along for the ride, it's great.
Absolutely, yeah. And I haven't seen it yet, but everything you've been talking about sounds like it's fantastic.
Mark Hamill kills it as Skeletor. Lena Headey is, she does the voice for Evil Lynn, who we actually see quite a bit of in this. I was really excited that she gets kind of a more prominent role here. So
Lena Headey's busy after Game of Thrones. She's also in Gunpowder Milkshake on Netflix, too.
She's getting all the jobs. Good for her.
Also saw a thing, too, where there's some talk about, and the G.I. Joe Snake Eyes movie has not debuted particularly strongly,
mm-hmm.
and so there's some concern that maybe, you know, other future origin stories of G.I. Joe characters may not happen because it just hasn't debuted particularly strong. But there was some talk, and obviously the success or failure of this film is probably going to base whether this happens or not, on some kind of G.I. Joe Transformers crossover. Because Hasbro would love to see that happen.
Oh, they would. Wouldn't yes. they? Imagine all the toys you could sell.
No kidding.
Okay, though. Ideally, if we get more origin stories, which, I don't know anything about the G.I. Joes, but which G.I. Joe do you want to see?
It's like Duke. I mean, would be...
That's fair.
Was it Channing Tatum played him in the films?
Yeah.
Don't know if it'll be Channing Tatum or not this time around, but...
Oh, Channing Tatum, you know, he's getting a little old. I don't know.
Yeah, so... I think Duke would be pretty good.
Duke would be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I can dig it.
All right. Well, that's our podcast for this time around.
All right. Signing off. I'm Rachel.
I'm Jim.
And we'll see you next time.